fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to talk about the glory and the majesty of Jesus. It's been a fun week. I hope you've been able to tune into the program. If you haven't, go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer, download them, and put them on your iPod and listen to them whenever it's convenient. I've been trying this week to, you might say, just glory in the Lord. One of the things I'm concerned about as I travel the country and I speak to people, speak to Catholics, other Christians, and as they talk about their faith, so many speak in somewhat discouraged tones and describe their faith as what I've been talking all week, maybe could be summarized as a kind of moral striving. And it's a duty to be good. It's a duty to do the best we can do, to be the best we can be. And it's often about what we have to do. And really, friends, the most important thing that Jesus wants us to know, that the Christian community, the church wants to share with the whole world, is the most important thing is not what I need to do for God, but what God has done for me. In fact, what we've been talking about all week in the teaching of the apostles, it's so clear, we can't do anything for God. What has to come first is what God's going to do for us. God, Christianity is the proclamation, is the realization that God wants to come and make his home in us. And that's a big deal. That is totally game-changing. That's a life-changing reality. We actually say Christianity is not a matter of just everybody helping each other just live better, make more of your life while you're here on earth. We're saying no. No. We live in a fallen world, an embattled world, which is not our home. We're aliens and strangers here. And we know deep in our souls we're called to something greater. And we strive and try to find that here on earth in different ways. We're made for more. And we try to find it in ways that never quite gets it done. It never fulfills us. But Christianity is really the gift of a new life. It's Christ's resurrected life, Christ's new beginning, his new creation, Paul talks about it. When he passes from death to life, Jesus takes with him your flesh and mine. He takes you and me through death to new life. Christianity is the proclamation that change is possible because God has come to change us. New life is possible because Jesus lives that new life now in glory, and he's come to give it to us, to give us a share in that new life. That's what it's all about. And the saints, and I've been talking the last few days about the Apostle Paul and Saints Peter and others, they constantly talk about what they see, what God has shown them, and what God has shown them about Jesus. And this is the fuel, friends. It's the Holy Spirit at work within them, making it possible for them to grasp who Jesus actually is and what he's accomplished. And by a miracle of God, by a work of the Spirit, as Paul said, as I read yesterday, the eyes of our hearts can be enlightened. We can see light gets shed into our hearts. They try to use images to help us understand what happens and what the Holy Spirit wants to do for us to give us that life-changing power, that transforming power, to release it into our lives. And they talk about the eyes of your heart, which is the heart is what the center, the core of your being, the seat of decision, the core, the place where your spirit dwells and you're going to be touched by God's spirit. So Paul says, God comes right there. When we begin to hear, when someone proclaims to us or declares and shares with us the truth about who Jesus Christ is, what he's accomplished, what he's come to do, and what he's after, what God the Father has done in him. When that message is proclaimed and our hearts are open, when we, as Paul mentioned, when we turn to the Lord, that's quite an image. Our life is moving in one direction, and we hear, and we turn now to the Lord. It's called repentance and conversion. We turn to listen to him. And as we say yes and we open our hearts, he sheds his light into our hearts, and we're able to see what we can't see on our own resources, the riches of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just happened to grab the Bible. I was going to read a different passage, but it's all over the place here. Here's Ephesians chapter 3 again. Paul says, of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. Paul said, how did I become an apostle? How did I get to the place where I want to communicate the good news? It was by a work of God's power. He said, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to do what? To preach to the Gentiles, that's you and me, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. To this, according to the eternal purpose, which he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence of access through faith in him. You can turn from one letter to the next, friends, written by the apostles, and it's just loaded with this kind of exhortation or exaltation or hymn of praise to God and his majesty. What excites the apostles is not their own perfection. What excites the apostles is the amazing, astounding thing God has done in Jesus for the salvation of the world. Here Paul says, there are unsearchable riches in Christ. Do you know who he is? He's not just a prophet. He's not just another moral teacher. He's not just one face in a lineup of religious gurus that walk through human history. This is the eternal Son of God. And his plan, which was hidden for ages, God the Father's plan, has now been revealed. And what is that plan? To save a fallen race of people who are destined and death-directed in their lives because of their alienation from God, were lost in a haunted wood. We're running after the wrong things day after day. We have identity crises. We have depression. We have anxiety and alienation. We don't know why we're here. We work so hard to make ourselves happy. And no matter how we strive to do it, we don't seem to be able to do it. Our best antidote is distraction, because we know deep down a gnawing sense of meaninglessness and purposelessness. But here are the apostles, absolutely alive with a prophetic understanding of reality. That is an understanding that's been revealed, and it's faith knowledge. It's experiential knowledge. It's not just head knowledge, but it's whole person knowledge and awareness in my whole being that, yes, look, behold, the beauty and majesty of Jesus. Look what the Father's done. The mystery has been revealed. Salvation has come from our God. Christ has passed from death to life. He now reigns with an indestructible life, and he's living in glory. He has the power and the capacity to bring Christians, to bring people who believe in him to life. As I love this, a couple of quotes by Father Joseph Fitzmyer, who was a great biblical scholar in the church at one time. He said, there's a new power in Jesus through the resurrection, and it's the glory that he received from the Father. The glory he received from the Father became his power. This is a power to create new life in all those who believe in him. He is now the second Adam, St. Paul says. He's a life-giving spirit. Paul says, Christ lives in me. The old man is dead, gone. There's a new life and a new power, a new capacity to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he says, by the power of God, he is alive. Jesus Christ is alive in the Spirit. Fitzmyer goes on, he says, Jesus the Lord he's possessed of a power derived from the Father, and it's capable of bringing about the resurrection of Christians. We know our destiny. We can see it through faith. There's no one like Jesus. No one. And friends, it's so unfortunate. In the secular culture that we're in, there's such a turning away from the idea of God. And what that does is it just shrinks the human mind and heart. It gets veiled and filled with shadows. And our minds become darkened. And our wills get screwed up. And they get trapped in what St. Paul describes in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He said, it's the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. Look around, friends. Open your eyes. Do you see this striving, this constant fighting to stave off death? the fear of sickness, the fear of aging, the fear of being diminished in any way, the constant consuming, frantic frenzy of energy to make ourselves eternally young. Look at how far we will go to ensure that our sicknesses and diseases won't harm us, that we can conquer them. I mean, it's right before our eyes in this last month and a half, whatever it's been, in the videos about what's happening in Planned Parenthood. And we know, people know, what's going on there, but we don't want to know. Why are human beings being sold? Why are they being cut up? Why are they being dismembered and their body parts being sold? Why are the most defenseless, those who can't defend themselves, why are they being sacrificed? For what? Oh, so that we can solve the problems. Somebody's got to die so that I don't get Alzheimer's. Somebody's got to die so I can overcome these maladies that strike us in old age. That is the strategy of the devil, to enslave the human race through the fear of death. What are we going to do about all these intractable problems that we can't solve? What about even our aging parents who may have these kinds of problems and they need our attention and we have to sacrifice for them? And more people, because, hey, this is all there is, man. I only have so much time here on earth and it's all over. And I got to get my piece of the pie while I'm here. Why should I have to sacrifice my time and my money when I only have such limited time, and it's not fair for mom or dad who's sick, who needs so much attention, to put this burden on me? Oh, what's the way out? The way out is death. Mom and dad should die. You should take a pill. It's the loving thing to do. Do you see the lies of the devil? This is like the Planned Parenthood people. Oh, it's the loving thing to do, to sacrifice, you know, these lives for the good of other people. And you see, it's always about sacrificing somebody else's life. It's not sacrificing my life. Jesus says, and God says, it's my life for you, my life for yours. I will lay down my life for you. And the devil turns it on its head, and the world is enslaved in it and says, your death for me. You sacrifice for me. Why? Because I'm in a desperate fight for death and meaning and purpose in my life, and I've got to find it. And the world's telling me, and science is telling me, well, if we don't take these body parts of these children, these babies, and use them for science to advance, you know, progress, right? We talked about earlier this week that once faith has moved away from God, from eternity, and the larger vision, it becomes a this world thing, and all of a sudden the survival of the species and progress is what it's all about. Friends, the gospel couldn't be clearer. The only way your heart is going to be free, the only way you're going to move from death to life, you're going to move out of that darkness and into a life filled with joy and meaning and purpose and life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. It's in him. It's nowhere else. It cannot be found in any other religious leader. It can't be. It's in him, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Open your heart to him. Beg him for it. Receive that life, a life you're destined for. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.